Community Connections, CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections, CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It's the 9th of December, 2022. In the studio today, we have Andrew Jacob Reinhardt. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Hi, good afternoon, Bob.
Listening to his composition called Music for Trees, especially formulated for radio. And how is that?
Well, this piece was originally just Music for Trees that is an outdoor installation. It has four separate tracks with four speakers. And they're each suspended from trees spaced apart from each other. So as you walk through the park, you hear different parts at different times and in different volumes. So I just adapted those four tracks together to sort of simulate a walk through the park for radio purposes. So that's how that works there.
Yeah. So enjoy Music for Trees for Radio on CKMS Community Connections.
Thank you.
enjoying the fade out from Music for Trees for Radio by Andrew Jacob Reinhardt, who we have in the studio here for CKMS Community Connections.
Hi.
So explain to me how this worked. What is an installation and what was this one like?
Normally, we think of considering music in or at least in a live context, it's in a concert setting. But I'm much more interested in being able to move while I'm listening to music. I always found sitting in chairs, being scared to like unwrap my candy, was not the right setting for me to consume music. And so I was lurking for ways that like actually not only worked with not sitting still, but actually encouraged it or were incomplete without it. And so the way that this installation worked is I made four wooden crates and I got four battery-powered speakers that I rented. And I had some blue rope left over from an old project. And so I tied them up to these crates and I put them up in trees in different areas of the park. This was part of Open Ears Festival in just this past summer or spring. And so as you walked around the park, you would hear the different tracks fading in and out and get a different listening experience depending on where you were standing and how you were moving around.
This was on Rose Island along the walkway. And so as you walk from one bridge to the other, you'd hear the music surrounding you.
Yeah, and it's called Music for Trees because conceptually I was trying to... Well, there's this idea that I like... that I sometimes talk about where trees dance like really slowly and not rather to music, but they mostly move to rays of light, which is true.
Because phototropism.
Like the sunflowers, they rotate as the day goes on. And so trees just dance slowly over the course of years. And so this piece originally was an attempt at sonifying the phases of the moon as it rises and sets, and the sun rising and setting. But when I did that all mathematically, it ended up sounding not as exciting as I wanted it to. So that ended up getting thrown out. But the sounds that I made trying to emulate the sun and the moon were the sounds that I still ended up using in this composition.
Okay. And what is it? How is it composed? This is all synthesizer?
This is all synthesizer. There's four tracks that are really just two tracks played backwards. So there's my sun track and my moon track, and then my moon track in reverse, my sun track in reverse. And yeah, it was all with synthesizer.
Okay.
Digital synthesizers, not analog synthesizers, sorry.
And when these played on the trees, you had the four speakers, the four crates, were they linked together somehow, or were they operating independently of each other?
Oh, yeah. It would be cool to have them all linked up together. But the thing is, when you do experimental work like this, it always breaks. Like, everything always breaks. Nothing ever goes according to plan. So I really try lately, and often fail, but I try to keep things as simple as possible. So I had four MP3 players that were the cheapest I could find with a headphone cable plugged into the back of the speaker. And that was it. I put the tracks on these MP3 players. I plugged the MP3 players into the speakers, turned them on, walked away. So it really wasn't. The way that they sync with each other isn't actually that too important to the piece, right? Mm-hmm. It's fairly indeterminate in that sense.
Yeah. So we've got Music for Trees for Radio here, which is about 8 minutes long.
Yes, I'd have to go back to know how long each track really is, but they're essentially looped. I think I made the piece 18 hours long because I installed it in the morning and I took it down each evening, and this was over 3 days. So it went up on Friday, take down Friday evening, again Saturday, again Sunday. So I made it so that it was I knew that it was longer than that time, so that if I were to be late getting there or something, it would still be going on. But it really is indeterminate in length. You know, you could just loop them forever.
Right. Right. Synthesizer isn't your main instrument, though.
No, I really do like electronic music.
Yeah?
And the instrument that people associate with me the most is the harp.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school for music.
Andrew Reinharp.
Yeah, that's So that's my email address, is andrewreinharp@gmail.com. But the thing is people will see my name and hear me spell it, and then they'll go, oh, I must have just misheard him, and fix it. And then I go, no, it's actually, and it's even made worse because T and P sound alike. Uh-huh. So it really is easy. Yeah, anyway, it's disaster that. But
I thought it was kind of clever. It's
it was clever when I came up with it, but now it's a bit of a remorseful choice. But anywho's, I do play the harp. I teach harp and music, but mm-hmm. I guess the harp is my primary instrument. But I'm just a sound curious person, and the harp happens to be a vehicle for sound that I spent a lot of time with, and I continue to, just because I've dedicated enough time to that skill set.
It's not a common instrument, you know. Most everybody plays guitar.
I don't. No, I probably should play better than I do, but I play a little bit of the ukulele, but I used to be better at that than I am now.
So four strings as opposed to
47.
47 on a harp.
There's some now that I think that they threw like an extra two or three on that's like 49 or 50, but it's not popular catching on because 47's enough. I barely use the last two.
I can't manage six strings on a guitar, never mind, you know, more than that on a harp.
And there's also 7 foot pedals.
7 foot pedals?
Yeah. So because the harp isn't like a piano, where it's chromatic, like meaning a key for every note, there's only 7 strings per octave. So you use your feet to access the black notes. This is on the pedal harp, though. There's other kinds of harps that use levers, which I do like those as well. But I guess the pedal harp's the one I'm most commonly sitting behind.
You have more than one harp?
Yeah, I have 4.
You're the only person I know who plays harp, and here you're playing it 4 times over.
Well, I have one that's big, then that's the 47 strings, and then I have one that I can strap, like wear it. That's I don't remember how many strings that is, but it's like 26 or something. And then I have 2 other small ones that are actually, I built them myself from a kit.
Still.
And the sound box is a cardboard box, and so I painted those bright yellow. Those are fun. and those are good to have because, you know, kids break stuff. And so, you know, to have the cardboard ones so that younger people can noodle without me worrying too much about my instrument.
This is when you're teaching.
Yeah, when I'm teaching, or I don't play out too often anymore, but I'll bring, I played at a farmer's market this past summer, and lots of kids stopped and stared, and like nobody was really stopping to listen except for the kids, and so I just was like, well, would you like to play with me? And so, you know, you give them the harp, and, you know, you can go like, oh, well, hold your hand to it and strum it so that it essentially becomes a percussion instrument, and so you can play together that way or something like that. That's fun.
With 47 strings, how do you tell them apart?
Oh, they're color-coded. So C's are red and F's are blue. So it's like red, white, white, blue, white, white, red, and so on. So you always know where C and F are, and like that, you can tell what the other ones are.
And so it's just muscle memory in your fingers that find the other notes when you can identify which ones are.
Oh, it's kind of just like the piano. Like, you know where C is on the piano, then C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah. I suppose I don't play the piano either.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's not that. It's not. It sounds complicated to explain it, but to sit at it and see it, it's not that wild.
Mm, okay. You used the harp as your instrument for your school. Tell me about this garden and how that came to be, the whole lead up to it.
Yeah, so this garden is my album, which is like the only album I've actually released. Usually I release things just independently. But this garden is an album of music primarily written for harp that sets 4 poems to music. Those are poems by my friend Eli Sokolov Harris, Toronto-based poet and fashion designer, cool guy. Anyway, so he's actually the one that's reading them on the album. But that was my graduate concert that I wrote it I wrote all the music for it. Part of it's improvised, and another part of it is actually just for music box and electronics that I made this music box that a motor cranks it, and you program it, but like you would program a player piano, where you punch holes in this card and it tells the thing to play the notes. And so that's how I wrote that piece, and that's how it was recorded that way.
But it was your thesis.
Yeah, it was like for my undergraduate grad concert. I was in this weird program called Integrated Musical Arts, where you got to pick like three areas of study. For me, I chose improvisation, composition, and electronic music. And then you kind of have a capstone project in each. And I opted to seize the power of the chaos that was the attending university through a pandemic. And instead of making three separate projects, I made like one really big one, which was this garden. So that was my album of music and poetry with harp electronics and music box.
Mm-hmm. And it's available on Bandcamp?
It's available on Bandcamp. Yeah. Pay what you name your price is what name they call it. Price. Starting at $7.
Yes, very. And how have the royalties been rolling in?
Oh, it sold a surprising amount after I released it there.
Oh.
But like, I don't know. It's not a revenue stream I'm monitoring too closely. It doesn't pay the rent.
No.
But that's fine.
Yeah, it's nice. I've played it in its entirety, front to back. Pleasant. It's soothing. It's relaxing. It's quiet.
So I like quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like music is the wrong thing to be in if you like quiet.
Well, that's why, you know, like I even hesitate to say, like, the word music almost feels like a dirty word to me lately, because I'm just like, well, I just like sound, you know, like I enjoy walking to the grocery store or wherever without headphones, mm-hmm. more than I enjoy walking to the grocery store with headphones.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm interested in what there is to listen to.
Yeah.
And my least favorite thing to listen to is cars.
Okay.
But I do like to listen to like the birds and you know, leaves rustling and whatever.
I know what you mean. I used to walk my dog, tried it with an iPod at one point, but you know, I missed the sounds of, well, trees and just the things that we were walking past. And yeah,
there's this idea that I haven't spent too much time with, but I do think about it in relation to music and listening to music. And it's, how often am I doing just a single thing? You know, like, how often am I doing one thing and not multitasking? And so I'm trying lately to only listen to music when it's the only thing that I'm doing, instead of it being this background something. You know, that you do while you're doing something else, like bringing a little bit more attention to, like, this is time for music. Like, even the idea of multitasking and walking somewhere and listening to music feels like splitting my attention too far. I'd much rather walk while listening to just what comes with that.
Right.
Not to sound pretentious.
No. I understand what you're talking about, because when I listen to music, it's usually either entirely in the background, so I need, you know, instrumental. I usually listen to electro trance type music, psytrance, which helps me get work done, you know, computer type work. But when I'm doing other things, I can't have music at the same time because it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just sometimes it should get special attention for that. I don't know. I feel like if it's not music, it's scrolling on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. You listen to your own music?
Oh, well, that's a funny question. maybe not so much a funny question as much as my answer feels funny, and at least in my mouth. I tend to not write things unless I'm having a hard time listening to anything. Like, I find that I write music usually out of a necessity, that nothing's quite scratching the edge, and then I start writing things because I'm like, well, I'm just need to listen to something, I guess.
And the thing you want to listen to is nothing that exists, and so you need to create it.
Or I haven't found it yet, but yeah, it goes between those sorts of things. lately I've been thinking I like music. Like I mentioned earlier, I like quiet, and you commented that that's funny to be in music. But I sometimes I feel like I like to make music that feels like it's not polluting the air with its sound waves, but it's actually filtering it. You know, it's sort of it brings a stillness to the air rather than activating it.
So do you want music that captures your attention, that one should be concentrating on, or do you want music that blends away and lets you think of, you know, your own thoughts while the music is facilitating that?
I want music that slows things down. Everything feels like it goes so fast, and I can't keep up. And I like music that makes me feel as though time is maybe ticking a little bit slower, so that I feel like I can catch my breath. That's often what I'm looking for in music. I'm looking for lots of different things in music, but that's the thing that comes to my mind at this particular moment of what I look for. Things that slow things down and bring stillness.
Is there a good example of that on this garden?
Oh, only of the instrumental pieces, I think, are nice and calm. There's three tracks from the album that like I really like, and I guess I do, to answer your question, listening to my own music, there are three tracks on the album that I do really enjoy, but particularly the last two tracks on the album, I feel do that. One is Set to Words, which is, oh, I hate to get the wrong name of my own songs, but I believe it's called You Always Loved the Water.
Uh-huh.
And the last track, which is instrumental, is, I believe it's called I Love the Way It Flows.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I got the names right.
I'm at an advantage here. I've got the track list in front of me.
Good. You can catch me if I fall.
Yeah. Shall we have a listen to You Always Loved the Water?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. This is You Always Loved the Water from This Garden album by Andrew Jacob Reinhardt.
People ask me what I'll do when I am older. I tell them, I'll design tools. I'll go back to school and get my MSW. I will move out of my parents' house. I'll probably be touring. I'll be running my own thrift store, and I will build a garden. When I first open the garden doors, I'll plant irises at the base of the Douglas firs. A path of black gleaming slate will lead to the bird bath at the garage, and you will be standing there with a straw hat and R.M. Williams. We're smiling because in 30 years we'll engrave our names into one of those trunks. And you, well, you'll laugh in this garden as we celebrate the day you came home with us. Every year under the same night sky. And you, when you greet me at the gate, I'll hug you like it was 2018 again. And we'll sit down and smoke, much to the chagrin of our family, and shoot the shit. And you, duly wedded life partners, bringing instruments and kin, and we'll sit in the sparse vintage folding chairs. And you, I'll tell you something. You'll meet your brother in this garden. And you can hold him here. In this garden, we'll swing him through the sprinkler. He'll scream and laugh, and in this garden, I'll hug you goodbye. I'll hold you as you head out the back door, like it's the last time. For one day it will be. And you, and you, and you, when we open together the wooden garden doors, wave to the irises and sit beneath the firs. Trash that we got rid of, and all the junk that's still there. Don't you remember what we built in this garden? The buried boxes, the compost, and the fallen apples. This garden with every gloomy corner and every bright blade of grass, it's whispering what Dad used to. How's my grass seed doing back there? He neglected to talk about the lawnmower, but I know he wanted me to keep the grass short. This garden was so young once. I have dulled in tandem with the black slates we walked on. You are here regularly with me, cracking jokes and laughing and turning our hearing aids up. When we were young, we spent every moment together, for each moment's newness. Now we sit together because we're too old to be too far apart. I have trouble remembering the name of that castle. I remember what it looked like, though. I guess there are still some speakers tucked away back here. How could we have listened to all that music in this garden? Just talking about leaving. The click of the garden door latch when you close it one more time. I don't hear that much anymore. The crystalline clink of the closing garden doors that led to the irises at the base of the firs. Traveled to Quebec to scatter your ashes. I cried as you went down the Coulonge. You always loved the water. And this garden, it is still.
Very lovely. I thought that was you doing the narration?
No, that's my friend Eli, who wrote the poem. I went to school with him for at least part of my degree, but became good friends, and I always loved the sound of his voice. Very buttery, yes. Smooth. And so when I was looking to write something for my grad concert, I asked him to send me some poems that he'd written, and this one stood out to me, or this collection. It's called This Garden. And so I asked him if I could set those and if he would read it along with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Yes. This reminded me of other music that I'd heard. And I think it might be Vangelis from his China album. And there's a recitation of a poem by a Chinese poet called Li Po. I sit in a boat and watch the shimmering moonlight. Something very similar. And the cadence and the voice is very similar to Eli's.
I love... I don't know, it feels very comforting, his voice. It wraps you in warmly.
Yes. And his intent in writing the poem was not how you interpreted it for the album.
Well, things never stay the same, right? I'm not fixed in space. And so if I have to think about what that album is about now, it's probably different than what it was when I wrote it. And I remember not understanding what Eli was trying to convey when he was trying to explain what he meant by the poem. But what it meant to me was just, it was more about imagining things to create them for yourselves or for yourself than it is that they, you know, actually need to exist in life. And I guess this was, in part, I was thinking about how much I like feeling connected to nature but live in the city and... being a young person growing up in this economic and social political climate, when am I ever going to have the ability to grow a garden? You know, owning land to do that sort of thing feels unattainable for a lot of young people, myself included. Though I will say I did make a front yard garden box, two garden boxes in front of my rental room. Mm. My landlord did give me some slack about it, but ultimately we got some tomatoes. So that's nice.
Yes. Yeah. It's a kind of thing you think you always want, you know, home, picket fence, garden, and then the picket fence needs painting and the garden needs tilling and you get the weed police after you because you're growing a thistle that's outlawed in Ontario.
That's true. It also, I think that there, particularly in that last piece, it symbolizes or it talks a lot about not exactly the importance of the garden itself, but really what happens inside of it and between people, and that's really what's important. And so I guess that maybe was what we're thinking about is the actual physical space is less important than what happens in it and curating and growing your own garden in new ways that we are able to because we do need that connection with people. That's something that we can't go without. But a garden, I guess, in a colonial sense is not necessarily the thing that you need.
Yeah. So this is more of a metaphor, an allegory for something.
For community. For connection, for togetherness, perhaps. It can be lots of things.
Yeah. Speaking of community, I first met you at a bike ride.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first time we met, but was it on
bike? Pretty sure it was on the bike. We might have run into each other at one of the ground up Sunday rides.
Okay.
But I didn't remember you from that.
Yes.
So the first time you stood out to me as an individual was when I saw the posters that somebody had put out for the Rainbow Ride. Back at the beginning of September.
Yes, it was either the 1st of September or the 30th of August. I want to say it was the 30th of August.
That'd have been the 30th of August, yes.
But anyway, back then. Yeah, we had a ride that was like a pride ride after some...
Name names.
Well, I always want to say that it's Woolwich Township. But was it Woolwich?
Yes.
Okay, so a former councillor for Woolwich Township made some pretty disgraceful remarks about queer people.
This was in response to...
This was in response to that. And it was, the thought behind it was that it's difficult when you live in rural areas and are queer to access your community. I grew up in a rural area and was a queer person, still am, and it's difficult. And when you have, like, you know, the represented officials talking about how you don't belong in this community, you know, like, that's so evil.
I have to say that I live in Elmira, in Woolwich Township, you know, a settlement area in a rural community. And there's no presence for queerness for the LGBT community. There's no sign of it at all. And the intent was to put in a rainbow crosswalk to acknowledge that, you know, everybody's welcome. These are members of our community. And then the councillor said, well...
I can't remember his exact words at this moment, and so I don't want to misquote.
No.
But regardless, it was quite overt.
Yes.
And so the plan was to at least for us here in the city, the Tri-City area, where we are able to access our community at least a lot more easy, like with easier time and more safely, where we're going to take time to go drive through and show that we are here and we're supporting you, even if we don't live here.
Mm-hmm.
Regrettably, we didn't go through Elmira. We went through all but just because Elmira is hard to get to on bike.
Yes. There's no good way to get there without sharing the road with traffic, automobile traffic.
At 80 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
So we ended up going around along the river and back up into Central Station and had a wonderful turnout. I was expecting, like, I don't know, like four or five people. Me and my friend Ethan practiced the ride the week prior, and we decided, like, we're going to put this out there, and if it's just the two of us that do it, you know, it's fine. And if anyone else comes, that's bonus. And we ended up having like 30 some people.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time.
It was during the election campaign, the municipal election campaign. So you had all the candidates coming out.
Yes. Yeah. So many candidates coming out to get photos for social media.
Some riding, some just there for the photo op.
Yeah. But regardless, I can't say that this is what led to that. Lots of different people also spoke out, but he did lose his seat in the election, and I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
But the people spoke.
And made it a visible community celebration of queerness, of belonging, of community.
Yeah, it's just we're here, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. How far does your activism extend beyond that?
Well, not as far as I'd like it to. I feel like, you know, I feel like I should be doing more and that it should be everything. And that's just exhausting. And honestly, I don't do nearly as much as so many people do. But I mean, I care about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I take too much credit for being an activist. I attend things usually. This was, I think, my first time organizing something. So I guess my activism usually is in the form of showing up. You know,
well, that's important. A lot of people don't even do that.
Yeah, I think that's something that I can at least pat myself on the back gently, is say that I do show up for things. I try to at the very least, but I'm not perfect. I do what I can. I know other people have other obligations to other things. I happen to be in a position where I do have the ability to frequently go to things on short notice. I'm able to drop because I am self-employed and I run a private studio out of my home, but that only keeps me busy 3 days a week. And the rest of the week, I usually am able to flex a lot or like be flexible in what I'm doing. So sometimes I'm often more able to attend these things than the general public is.
Yeah, I know that the pandemic's put a big crimp in my participation in things.
Yeah, I used to, so like before I moved to Waterloo, I was a teacher at this institution called the institution, might not be the right word, but called the Downtown Music Initiative, and I taught music lessons there, and they gave free instruments on loan to families that were a little underserved and provided lessons to the students on a volunteer basis. So I got the harp thing going there, and we ended up getting six small harps there. But that ended up losing funding at the same time as I moved here. And then I stopped being too active in things because I was busy with school. But now I've been out of school for a little bit, so I'm trying to find my place in the community, and I do want to care about this community specifically. That's before we were on air, you were talking about how I was a hard person to find because I'm not on any social. I just have my website, yeah, which is under construction.
What happened with all the social media? Because you used to be on social media. You used to have
social
accounts
media
here and there.
Well, I had all of the normal things. It just didn't feel authentic to me. It felt like I was trying to create a global audience, and that's just like a little too much pressure for me. Like, you know, when you're an artist, like in this day and age, you're expected to be in all those places, and you're expected to be selling yourself in all these different ways. And I was really trying to, because, you know, that's how you're supposed to be making the money. But I'm just like, I'm really genuinely interested in things that are nearby. Like, I care about things that are further, but this is one way I'm trying to take care of myself, where I feel as though I need to care about everything. And in a lot of ways, I do, to a problematic level, but I can only act on so much. And I'm trying to narrow that scope to where I actually am. And so getting off of the internet in a lot of ways makes me feel like I have more control over where I'm acting.
Yeah. I think you led the curve there, because as of today, on December the 9th, Twitter has been imploding for the last month or so, been taken over by Elon Musk, and has not improved the site from what a large proportion of the population can tell. And, you know, it's people are coming to the same conclusion that you have, that the internet is not real life, and we're far better off being with community and doing real things than trying to artificially inflate ourselves on social media.
And so this is something that's very interesting to me to think about, at the very least, is digital things are real, but which ones? I feel as though, because, you know, I was born in 1996, so I grew up with the internet, and pretty much anyone that was born after that grew up, like, with internet, you know, as we know it.
Pervasive.
Yeah, in every way. And so it's hard to remember a time before it, but I think that we need to, like, remember, hey, this is brand new, and the odds that we got it right on the first go, not very high.
Yeah.
You know, we should be critical of it and think, okay, what's working, what's not working? We know social media makes us depressed. That's not working. maybe we need...
But it's making money for people.
Yeah, gross. You know, so at a point in time, you know, electricity was something that was like a luxury. And now internet's sort of becoming something that it still is a luxury in a lot of ways. You have to pay for it. Not that electricity is free, but access to electricity is like a requirement. Mm. And access to internet, I feel as though, is becoming a requirement if it hasn't already. And perhaps we need to have some amount of public control over that, because when we leave it up to profit, it doesn't serve the public.
Yes.
And it... Similarly to the way that electricity's revolutionized our lives and we all need access to it now, well, the internet's revolutionized our lives and we all need access to it, but what does that look like? I think the current model is bad.
Yes.
Do I have a solution? No.
Not yet, but getting off the commercial social media accounts is certainly a step in the right direction. That's not a solution necessarily, but I think it's necessary to have a solution.
Yes. I think that it just became a part where, like, okay, I know this is making me feel worse about myself than I need to. Let's get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was going to be really hard, but it actually wasn't.
You haven't missed it at all?
No, I have a fake Twitter that I browse very rarely.
So this thing you said about the internet is real, that's not the real you.
Well, so things that happen on the internet are real. Like... I have a very good friend who lives in the Czech Republic, and her and I only had a relationship that was through mail and messaging,
mm-hmm,
until 4 years ago when I went to the Czech Republic and I visited her. And like, so in some ways, seeing her for the first time made things real in a different way, but it always was like, we still had, you know, the relationship that we had wasn't fake. It was, you know, we were good friends. But now if she came to visit this past summer, and so in that, those sorts of things are real, but What am I trying to think is fake?
I was more thinking that people are on social media bringing forth a persona, acting as someone that they're not really.
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. That, yeah, that's we're also sold a lot of things, you know, like we think that we like certain things, but how much of that's just algorithm going, well, maybe this today, you know, it's pretty random. Yeah. We don't know what's going on.
And having divested yourself of social media accounts, it hasn't affected your ability to market yourself as an artist?
Well, yeah, that's I feel like I just like to be present in the community and show my face and talk to people when I can. And I was very honored to have been nominated for a Waterloo Region Arts Award in the Emerging Artist category. I didn't win it, but I was very honored to have been nominated. So it's been going fine. I think that the way I sustain my career is teaching and applying for grants. And then I just follow through on those grants and show them to whoever comes. And I try and reach a local audience. I try to stay hyper-local.
Yeah, hyper-local is good.
And if it goes beyond that, even better. But
yeah,
I mean, these are the people I'm here for.
Yeah. You've just articulated what community radio is all about. It's for the community, right? It's we're here in the community, we're by the community, we're about the community. If we get a wider reach, you know, on the internet perhaps, or somebody shipping a podcast across the ocean, you know, that's all well and good, but that's not why I do it at any rate.
Yeah, and also, you know, I said earlier how I like things that make me feel like things slow down. You know, like if you're on Instagram, you're being encouraged to like post daily, if not like just at minimum multiple times a week, if not multiple times per day. And I can't produce that much content, you know, like I'm trying to make art and I have to make so much stuff. And then it does become just content. And that's nothing against people that are content creators. There's lots of people that make wonderful things. It just doesn't work for me. I take a long time with things and I couldn't keep up.
Yeah. You've had some commissions, though. You had something at the museum a while back.
No, not at the museum. I was at next door, though, at the Conrad Center of the Performing Arts.
Okay, I thought it was part of the same building.
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
The same building?
Oh. I could be wrong. I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay.
I'd never been in the Conrad Center before that, but I was able to rent the Conrad Center thanks to some support from the city of Kitchener. And I had a concert as part of Numis's 2022-23 season, Numis, N-U-M-U-S, where I got to create something. And this was a first for Numis because it wasn't as much a concert as much as it was a collection of installations that were all put into one space. So it was similar to Music for Trees I was talking about earlier, but There was several different stations where you could do different things, and all of them were around sound or music, and collectively the audience created what the performance was. So there was this one area where I had a bunch of flower pots hanging from the ceiling, like bells, and they had ropes. This is where the leftover rope was from.
Okay.
But these ropes, and they had a clapper in it, and so when you rung the bell, there was a pickup on it that ran up the cord down over to the computer, and it said, "Hey, I've been hit." And the computer goes, "Oh, it's been hit. Okay, play some sound." And so there was 8 speakers up in the top of the mezzanine that were playing into the space below. And as you hit these bells, they produced different sounds coming into the room. So by playing with those, you could negotiate the soundscape. And then there's another corner where I brought my music box from this garden, but I repurposed it where I just gave blank strips of paper to people and asked them to create their own melodies for the music box. So I had the music box there so they could play it. Cool guy Tom Allen, radio host for CBC, was there, and he actually had a lot of fun punching holes, going over, seeing what it sounded like, walking back, editing it, and doing that a lot. So that was a lot of fun. And then there was a sitting area where you could just sit and listen.
Anything like that coming up in the future? Commissions,
installations? Right now, I am trying to adapt all of that concert for digital spaces so that you can sort of experience them and play with sound without having me to set up the space and rent a venue and spend a week setting it up, have it always there in a browser. But coming soon, I hope. I always...
This fall.
Well, I said this fall, and I'm hoping I can still deliver on that, at least in part, but I always... Sometimes I think, like, however long you think it's going to take, double it. Mm-hmm. But I think I need to go, okay, double it, and then double it again. Because everything takes me... I take a long time to do everything, and it always takes me longer than I even think I'm going to.
Everything takes longer than you expect. And in fact, things have taken so long, we're out of time. The hour is up. We're listening to Postlude. This is the final track off This Garden by Andrew Jacob Reinhardt, who's been our guest in the studio for CKMS Community Connections. It's been wonderful to have you here, Andrew.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
CKMS Community Connections is a production of Radio Waterloo, sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Jeff Steger and Steve Todd, who wrote our opening theme music. My name is Bob Jonkman. CKMS Community Connections airs Mondays at 11 o'clock and Fridays at 3 p.m. Should be back next week with another guest. Let's listen to some Postlude as we take us to the top of the hour.